You have no place, that there is truth this morning that we need to hear, that it's not about, that's not about me, but God, it is about you. Now you can clap your hands. Go for it. It's all good. You can yell at me. You can clap. It just encourages me to spit more, so feel free to go for it. I love it. I love it. But we're going to be a changed people in here this morning. I believe it. I've had this on my mind back in my early 20s. Yes, I am 33, newly 33, and I can tell you that me and God kind of came to this conclusion that everybody around me is going to be growing old, and I get to stay forever young. So, woo, yes, that's awesome, right? No, I'm kidding. I think I love growing older. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. But 10 or so years ago, I was sharing with a good friend back at my old church. Anybody have an old church? Yeah, I've got an old church. I remember it so well. I remember that conversation so well. We were standing out. It was a Thursday night after worship rehearsal practice. We were standing in the parking lot, and we were just talking. We were both kind of coming to the conclusion that we so desperately wanted to see God move in our church, to see people's lives being changed, to see friends growing in their walks with Jesus, to not being held back, to seeing our auditorium filled with people that were hungry, that were passionate, that weren't just ready to stay stuck. But I'm just going to say it. It doesn't always happen that way, right? Right? And there are many reasons to that, but I'm going to focus on one thing this morning. We kind of came to this thought that night, on that Thursday night, 10 or so years ago, that we live in an area where people have just become complacent. I'll go one step further. We had a church that had some very complacent Christians in it. And me as a 20-year-old, it was hard to wrap my mind around, because it wasn't about doctrine, it wasn't about denominations, it was about people getting real with who Jesus is, with people getting real with the truth and the life that he brings. So have you ever been complacent in your life? Have you ever felt like you were stuck? Have you felt like your life was stale, like you felt like growth had just stopped in your life? I'm going to ask us all a question right now, before we even get going. Are you stuck? Would you say that you're stuck in this life? Are we complacent people? I yelled at Siri this week, "Hey, Siri, don't you say anything. Don't you say anything. Hey, Siri, what's the definition of complacency?" She yelled back at me this: "It's the smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements." Basically, you're just going along in this life. It's like you kind of hit the autopilot. When things happen like this, when this happens in our life, when we become stuck, we act like the change that we so desperately need is just outside of our reach, that we just get stuck at this mundane type of whirlwind. Anybody been there? Just been there? You felt stuck? You ever felt complacent? Are you stuck right now? Let's get real this morning, because I believe some of us need to take steps this morning. Some of us would say that we are complacent. We just don't know how to overcome it. We don't know how to escape it. We are complacent with where we are at with work. You want to know how many times I hear this? I get in conversations with people and they say, "Jordan, gosh dang it, I hate where I work." You might have said that. "I hate where I work. Jordan, let me tell you, like, God spoke over me back in 2012, 2013, whatever the year may be, and God gave me a vision. God gave me a calling." And I sit there and I wonder, well, what's keeping you from that, right? And then they'll answer it for me. I don't even have to say anything. "Well, Jordan, I got a matching 401k. I've got 3 weeks paid vacation. I carry the health insurance in my family. I can't go anywhere. I can't move on. I have to stay here." See, we can be a people that get stuck in the same relationships in life that constantly bring us down, that we can't move past. We should be the ones that are speaking into them, but no, we just stay. Sure, we can be complacent with our health, my health. Oh, I can tell you about my health right now. We can be complacent with our health because in my head, just the thought of running somehow magically lowers my high cholesterol right now. It's hard. That means I actually have to put my phone down and actually go and put energy and effort into making myself better. We are complacent in our marriages. You know, we go for hours. I'll say it, sometimes even days without talking to our spouses. Meaningful conversation. Do you know some of us still sleep in separate bedrooms? Well, if your spouse snores, that's okay. That's cool. But we become complacent in our marriages. We can become complacent with our knowledge, where we just want to stick with what we know, where we don't want to dive into something new. We are complacent in our relationship with God. We say all the time, oh, man, I just want to dig into everything that God has for me. I want to know Jesus. I want to be part of a community that continues to push me in my relationship with Jesus. But what do? We sit at home. We sit idle. We sit on our phones in our downtime instead of opening up a Bible study or opening up the Bible. We begin to push relationships away from us that should only be lifting us up. We sit at home and we give excuses to not digging into community. And then what do? We just forget. We forget all that God said over us and we just fall back asleep. See, I'm here to tell somebody in this room this morning that enough is enough. I believe that we have the option as people, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to grow, to not get stuck in one place, to not get stuck in just the mundane, to not get stuck in one story, one chapter of our story. This morning it's time to stop making excuses, and it's time to stop thinking that it'll happen tomorrow. I noticed that all the amens have stopped all of a sudden. It's okay. Can I say, March 8th, now is the time to press on in this life. Now is this time to say, I cannot stay here. See, Paul's writing these verses that we read a couple of moments ago with a hunger, with a passion. I don't know if you know anything about Paul. The Apostle Paul is this incredible guy that at one time in his life, he opposed and tried to get rid and destroy the movement of Jesus, any followers of Jesus. But Paul, sometime later in his life, has this incredible encounter with Jesus. I love those encounters with Jesus because Paul is an example that when he had an encounter with Jesus, everything that he knew before, he went the opposite way. He did a complete 180 with his life. He realized that Jesus is the way, Jesus is truth, and Jesus is life. And now he wants to dedicate his life to telling everybody about him. He wants to encourage Christians around the world some thousands of years ago and us today in Goshen, Indiana, that enough is enough. Encourage us, reminding us that no matter what your past has looked like, no matter what it's looked like, that you have the opportunity to press on, to grow, that you cannot stay idle in this life, that we must live out the calling that God has over our lives, pursue it with everything that we have. Here's what I know, if you're taking notes this morning, nothing will halt your forward progress in knowing Jesus so quickly than that of complacency. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. See, many of those that he was writing to would think because of Paul's past and the incredible things that he ended up doing for God, that somehow he had reached a spiritual maturity, that he is best friends now with God, that he doesn't need to keep pressing on in his life. He's saying, no. On this side of heaven, I'm not perfect. So he's reminding us that he isn't perfect. And with that, he says, but I press on. Look to somebody next to you and say, press on. He says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. See, I don't know if you know this, but the Bible says in the book of Revelation that Jesus knocks. Y'all hear that? Jesus knocks on the hearts of on the doors of our heart. And maybe some of us have been resisting that knock. You might say, Jordan, I sense that knock. I feel that knock when I'm lonely, when I'm depressed. There's this knock. And it doesn't stop. But I act like it's not there. See, you see, when Paul answered the knock on the door of his heart, he knew that on that day, he knew the reason why Jesus had been repeatedly after him, that been on him, that Jesus had been wooing him towards himself. Jesus had a plan for Paul's life. And it was not denying it. He was going to use Paul in such an incredible way. And so now Paul says, I'm giving my life to discovering and unleashing the reason why Jesus kept knocking on my heart. I want to discover and unleash the reason why Jesus caught me. I want to catch what he caught me for. AKA, if you don't know what I'm saying there, basically that's our privilege and that's our right that God has a plan over our lives. God is knocking on the hearts of on the doors of our hearts because he has a plan for us, that he wants us to be with him, to not be stuck, to not be complacent. He wants to use you. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on towards the goal. See, Paul was focused on one thing. He desired to learn and to know Jesus. He desired to partner with heaven to do heaven's work here on earth. He would not let those things that which were behind him, all that stuff, distract him from what lies in the present and in the future. We do that, don't we? I'll be real, I've done it. We let the things that happen to us bring caution to us in the present and the future. That's me. I'm going to be real with you. I just went through a really tough season, really hard season, really stressful season. And every ounce of me wants to say, no, if I could just retreat, if I could just hide out for a while, no one needs me. If I could just fly under the radar for a while, that'd be cool, that'd be great. But I can't tell you how many times that when I think those things in my head, that I just stay in that zone. I just stay in that stuck feeling. I become stuck. I get stuck in this continuous cycle of thinking. I get stuck in this continuous cycle of excuses. And I just stay there. You might say, well, Jordan, I can't do anything. I have a past. I have so many mistakes. You don't know how bad my previous relationship hurt me. You don't know how bad my previous church hurt me. I can't serve. I don't want to give. See, we've fallen into the hole of complacency in our life, and we can't get out of it. We can't. Can I just tell you this morning, not to minimize what we all have been through? I get the hurt. I get the pain. I get you wanting to call a timeout when you're tired. But don't stay there. I hear your conversations. I hear the stories. And some of us keep using the same excuse that were 8 months ago, that was 2 years ago. God is saying you cannot stay there any longer, that we must press on. I'm just going to say it. We need you as a church. Yes, your family needs you. Your friends need you. Your community needs you. But I'm on staff. I can say this. We need you as the church. And if you're not sure what this all looks like, try it here before you go out there. Press on in this life. See, looking at the past often distracts us and keeps us from what God has for us in the present and the future. You got to have some passion. You got to have some fire for the future. You got to get good in math. You gotta have some fire in your veins. And that's why complacency, this smug satisfaction, is absolutely incompatible with what it means to be a follower of Jesus this morning. Guess what? The enemy knows this. The enemy knows this. Which is why he works so hard to keep followers of Jesus complacent. The enemy wants to keep us looking back at what was instead of looking at what we can be and who we are in him and looking towards the future. All right, it's okay. If somebody starts clapping, clap with them. Come on, y'all. Don't let one person clap. Let's go. You see, we don't give the enemy enough credit, I believe. He's got more than one trick. He doesn't just like to get people to sin. He's also fine if you just stay asleep in this life. And that's why temptation isn't his only tool. He's really, really good at singing lullabies to us. I'll say that again. You need to write that down. Temptation isn't the enemy's only tool in our lives. He's really good at singing lullabies. Because if you're asleep at the wheel of this life that Jesus bought and paid for by his blood, with his blood, we will not do the damage to God's kingdom that we were meant to deliver to this world. I'm sorry if you're new and I'm shouting. I don't mean to. I just get fired up. He will keep us complacent, but God wants us to fight for the future. Look, I don't know a majority of all your stories. I don't know what page you're on in this life, but this scripture that we just read a little bit ago of the Apostle Paul leads me to believe that we should never be looking back in the past, that we should never be stuck in the mundane, that we should never be okay with where we are just at in our lives, that there is more to come. Guess what, church? Our God is alive. He's not a dead God. He's doing new things. We should own the market on change. We should own the market on growth. We're the only people that can wake up in Goshen, Indiana, not need a vacation. We're the only people in Goshen, Indiana that don't need a promotion. We don't need some big breakthrough because we have already had our breakthrough, and that was when Jesus broke through that grave. So now we have the right to wake up every day and say, today is a new day. God, change me. God, change me. Change me. Change my life, change my mind, change my path. God, I need a new anointing. Lord, give me one. God, I need a new revelation of who you are. God, give me one. I came here to tell somebody today that if you feel stuck, you might be complacent in your journey. You have the right to say, Lord, I'm ready to press on this life. Do something in me. God doesn't leave you where he finds you. He loves you enough to accept you as you are, but loves you way too much to leave you where you are. There's more to come. There's more to come in this life. Can there be a new song in your spirit? Can there be some new faith in your blood? Can there be some new fire in your eyes? Because let me remind you that we have the right, more than anybody else in this world, to realize that we serve the living God. And if you don't like where you're at, good news. We can press on. We can press on. I couldn't think of anything worse in this life. To look back at my younger days, look back at my life and see no change. I've been there. I've seen the no change. Same stories, same problems, same issues, same jokes. Same stuff. I want to be able to look back at my life and see the different chapters and see the different pages of my life and not even begin to recognize my old faith. Because God is continuing to do something new in me, that I keep having new revelations of who God is in my life, that I don't stay stuck. I wonder if there's anybody here in this room this morning that feels stuck, that you need to press on. Has somebody lied to you? Has somebody told you that you're stuck in that job, that you're stuck in that relationship, that you can't move from it? Does somebody keep bringing up your past? Can I just tell you this morning that they were wrong? That's why you showed up this morning, so the Holy Spirit can remind you. He doesn't care how much you know. There's more to know with Jesus. He doesn't care how many tears that you've shed. But the Bible says there's joy in the morning. I don't know how bad it was at your old church, but it's a new day, y'all. We serve the living God. We must get up and press on in this life. I don't know who this is for, but whatever you were going through in your previous church, that was 3 to 5 years ago. Now's the time to let it go and move on. We move on. But some people act like they're stuck and they just feel complacent. They wouldn't say, well, Jesus is stuck. He's just stopped. He stopped in my life, so I have stopped. Never once did Jesus say, follow me. We're going to stay right here. I don't ever see that in the Bible. He also never turned anyone away that wanted to grow. He said, come to me, all who have it together, who tithe and who are super spiritual. No, he didn't say that. He says, come to me, anybody. The broken, the lonely, the destitute, the anxious, the famous, the faceless. He says, if you want to grow, come on with me. Come on. Let's go. Let's grow. That's who our God is. If you're serious about pressing on in your world, I'm starting to close, okay? So you can rest assured. My hands are all sweaty. Your hands are sweaty. We're going to get there, okay? If you're really serious about pressing on in your world, I have 17 mindsets this morning. Get ready for them. It's going to be a long morning. I'm kidding. Some of you aren't coming back. I got 3 points. Point number one, my prayer is that you would be consumed with Jesus changing your life. You want to press on in this world? My prayer is that you are consumed with Jesus changing your life, yours. Yeah, it's one thing to say, yep, God, I want to press on. I want to change the world. I want to grow. Yeah. You know what? That is a cool thing to say. That's a trendy thing to say in the church. But if you're a true follower of Jesus and you want to press on in this life, I pray that you are more consumed with who you see in the mirror each and every day than those around you, than the theys and the thems. I pray you're more consumed with who you see in the mirror and the Holy Spirit taking away the sin and the pride and the hate. I pray that you are more consumed with you than they and them. You know what that means? Write this down. Less fingers and more thumbs. Less fingers and more thumbs. Because we love to point the fingers at others. Well, they're stuck. They're complacent. Instead of looking right inside of us. I've been there. I've been all about the fingers. And let me tell you, that leads nowhere. You begin to isolate yourself. See, when change happens in you, change will happen around you. Change has got to happen inside of you first for the world around you to change. I didn't want to hear this. Can you imagine if we left here this morning and dedicated ourselves to saying, God, change me first. Change my mind. Change my heart. Change me first. Show me the areas that need work in my life. Is it my attitude? Is it my pride? Is it my negativity? Lord knows it's my negativity these days. Change me first. Can you imagine if we showed up to chemistry class? I kid on chemistry, right, all the time. But can you imagine if we showed up to chemistry class? Or if you showed up to your cubicle on Tuesday morning and people around you say, well, you look so different. Where were you this weekend? You say, psh, I don't know. I went to church. That's the Holy Spirit working inside of you and changing you. Can we move past complacency? Can you press on? Can we focus on what Jesus is doing in our lives and dedicate ourselves to the Holy Spirit changing us so that it's unmistakable and unavoidable in this life? I know we'll see change by just what God is doing in us. Number two, write this down. Maybe you need to begin to change the way that you look at Jesus. Maybe we begin to change the way we view Jesus in this life. Maybe we need to go from a visitation relationship with Jesus to a revelation relationship with Jesus, because I don't know if we see Jesus the right way. I can tell sometimes in worship we're like this.
Yeah, Brax, that's a good song. Those are some good lyrics. Dang, you can sing that high part. Yeah. Angela, your voice is angelic. Good grief. Yeah. Yeah, God. Yeah.
But that's it. See, I don't know if we see Jesus for who he is, because when we begin to see Jesus for what he did and what he took to that cross, we don't miss a moment when we come into this place. We know that this is a safe place to lift up our hands, lift up our voices. We don't miss a song. We don't miss a beat. We go for it. Some of us are still in that visitation thing where we come to church to meet with Jesus. Well, I have to go to my prayer closet to talk with Jesus. Like Jesus visits me and I visit with him. I came to this revelation that Jesus doesn't just visit my life. He has ownership and residency of my heart and my soul. Now, I don't always live that out. I don't, babe, do I? But that's okay. Because we press on, we grow. See, God doesn't leave. He doesn't go anywhere. He's with me all the time. He's with you all the time. And if we begin to see as Jesus is with us all the time, I believe we wouldn't stay stuck in this whirlwind. Same problems, same junk, same stories. When we see Jesus for what he did for each and every one of us, we wouldn't waste a moment. We say, Jesus, here I am. Let's go. Use me. I get lost in my notes. How do you see Jesus? Do you see him with you day in and day out? If you believe he's with you, you're not going to be stuck, because this is our God. This is who our God is. Number three, I'm closing. Here's what cannot happen when you leave here. Do not let this one moment of complacency wreck your story. Do not let being stuck define you. Do not let complacency define your story. Do not let the season that you're in keep you from the future. You may be going through something right now, and the enemy wants you to stay there. The enemy tells you that this is your life. This is who you are. He's saying you can't move past it. Are you sick right now? Can I tell you, in Jesus' name, that you are not going to stay sick? Are you hurting financially? In Jesus' name, you are not going to be hurting financially anymore. Don't let being stuck define who you are. Press on. You've been carrying something that nobody knows about? Go tell somebody. You're not going to stay there. Don't let this one season that you're in dictate your entire story. God is better than that. You're an overcomer. It's time to press on. Right now, it's time to take a step. This is my second, third close of the morning. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come up. It's time to take a step this morning. And before we get there, I just want to set precedence here that just like we see the prayers on the screen each and every week, we pray as a church, there's power right down here too. A lot of times we stand up here and there's only one or two that come down front. This is a safe place. These are good people. And this is not a look at me type of show, or this is not a we're going to point fingers at you. This is a moment to where somebody can come and partner with you and pray over about your specific need in your life. Follower of Jesus or not, my fourth close. Look, I'm not here to play with emotions this morning. We don't move on emotions. We move because the Holy Spirit is nudging us to do so. And so this morning, we need to take a step. I'm asking all of us, if you could, just close your eyes real quick. Not looking around, not looking to the pretty girl to the left or right of you. I'm asking all of us to look inside of us. Now is the time to move. Now is the time to grab hold of what God is doing. What he has spoken over to your life thousands of years ago. If you're interested in knowing Jesus better this morning, you are right on time. Look, it's going to be simple this morning. If you're finally ready to take a step forward in pursuing growth in your life and your relationship with Jesus, God's not looking for big life moves this morning. All of us are going to go on Monday morning at 8 a.m. and quit our jobs, right? But God is looking for those who are willing to take a step. That you can't, that you're tired of saying, I can't stay here any longer. Where do you need change? I'm here to tell you that there's a future that is more fruitful than where you currently are. And in just a moment, the band is going to sing this closing song with us. It's one of my favorite go-to worship songs right now. It says, God, in the midst of my dull and my stale and my complacent life, I know that I'm not enough unless you come and invade everything within me. Will you meet me here again, God? If that's you this morning and you want somebody to pray with you, pray through your situation, I encourage you, don't waste a moment. Come down front and have one of our prayer team members pray over you. Number two, second call. If you're not a follower of Jesus, and that's all right. I'm just pumped that you came here this morning. I'm sorry that you probably saw me spit. But maybe, just maybe, as this conversation went on, you heard this on your heart. And right now, God is nudging you to know him more. And I understand this might be foreign to you, but can I ask you to step out and join those up front as well to pray over you? It's okay if there's a line. That we have prayer team members ready to lead you into a prayer of what it means to know Jesus. Why don't you stand with me? The call was simple, right? The call to move from complacency in whatever area, the call to know Jesus more. Right now, all across this room, can we fight to honor God in this place? Can we press on to build his church? Can we fight to what to get to the place where he wants to use us? To fight to do what he wants to do in us and through us, because it's not about us, but it's about his plan over each and every one of our lives. The band is going to sing, and if you're able to right now, lift up your hands, reach out your hands to heaven. If you feel comfortable, reach out your hands right now. And let's begin to cry out to heaven, because we have a moment right here, right now, that our God is going to change something in our lives that nobody else can. Don't let the enemy hold you back this morning. Right now, I'm going to pray and then you can come forward. Father, I pray that you would remind us that we have the right to cry out to heaven this morning, to say, God, I cannot stay here anymore. God, I'm tired, but I want to move. God, we thank you for what's been, but we know in Jesus' name that the best is yet to come in our lives. I declare breakthrough in this church this morning. I declare breakthrough in this community this morning. God, that walls would not be able to contain it, that the floodgates of this city would not be able to contain it, that they would be continued to open up in your name. God, we speak breakthrough in this community. We speak breakthrough in the middle schools and the high schools of our area, God. We speak breakthrough in the industries in this area, God, right now. Lord, may you have your way in us. Have your way in this church. Would you join us as we sing this morning? Come on. God.
Would you meet me here again?
All across this room, reach out your hands. He's here. Do you want him?
It's all you
are. We're not here to play church. We're here to encounter the living God in this place. That we can come out of these walls, come out of this building, and not let it be about the church service. This is who we are. This is our lives. This is who we are. This is the God that we serve.
It's all I want. It's all you are. Will you be here again? I'm not.
Just the voices. Just from your lips, from your heart. I know God hears it, and he's going to meet you right here. He's here. I see those hands up. This morning, like I said just a second ago, let it not be about the church service. We don't go from this place saying, wow, we had church yesterday. No. We go from this place and we press on because that's who God made us to be. Yeah, this may be one moment in time, but we have a story that God is writing with us. And so if I could just encourage you in one thing, tell our students all the time that it means nothing if we don't take what we heard and hear and take it out there. It means nothing. God spoke ministries in your heart. He might have given you a vision this morning, give you a dream that he brought back to the forefront of your mind. You might have seen what your future spouse looks like. You might have saw what your close inner circle of friends really should look like. I saw for myself a better husband and a better father. See, I don't stand up here and I have my own issues. But God, I choose to put my focus and my eyes upon you. God, and I'm going to grow in this faith. Let's do it as a church. Let's do it as people. Let's do it as a community. I want to be part of it. If you want to be part of it, let's do it together. You're not alone. I'll be there with you. Let's go get coffee. Let's hang out. Let's go talk to friends. I don't care. Get me on your calendar. Let's do it. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, if you never did another thing in this world, God, it would be enough. When you went to that cross with your son and with his blood paid for my life, my friends' life, and this community's life, God. God, we dedicate ourselves back to you this morning. God, this word has been rolling around in my head, this one word, and it is being bold. I've shared it with the students that I feel like that's the word for this church, for the student ministry, God, is to be bold in our walk with you, to be bold. God, that's not shouting down anybody, but God, that is just being bold, coming out of the stuck, coming out of the mundane, God. To be bold, to be courageous wherever our feet takes us. God, we may have the same job, but God, we know we can have a new spirit in you. We look to you. I pray that over my friends right here.
that we'd be bold and that we'd be courageous in our walks as we go out of this place. Thank you for this morning. Hey, we love you. We love you, God. We got mad love for you. Hey, thanks for being here with us this morning. You might have wondered where in the world Pastor Gene and Brenda, they're on a little R&R. But we hope you were encouraged this morning. Continue to pray for them. Pray for the leadership of this church, the staff, the ministries that we have here. I don't have some big closing, but what I do know is that we need to be a church that knows Jesus and knows our neighbor. Period. Period. So let's go out and do it. Let's go be part of it. Hey, if you're wanting to invest in the work that is happening around here through Restored Church, I always want to encourage you, invite you to give super easy on the app, Church Center app. There's gray boxes in the back and over in the lounge as well. Man, I'm not here to say we need your money, but we don't have jobs if you don't. We don't fund this church going forward in the future that he has without each and every one of you being part of the mission and the vision here. So join us. Take a step this morning in that. Be here next week. I've got my man, Marlon Schwartz, bringing the word next week. Can you give it up for him? Yeah. Marlon, we're looking forward to it. I'm excited. Be praying this week. God's going to do something next week, too. Bring a friend. Hey, we love you. Mad love. We'll see you soon.